welcome to Marvel Movie News. Oh my goodness, this show, we have Ant-Man and the Wasp spoiler-free review. Has the Disney deal gone through? Is Fantastic Four our first family back? We'll find out right now.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
And welcome! Here we are, yes. We are the Marvel Movie News, and welcome to the Demolition Man episode, because this is episode 187.
Episode 187.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I just said it was the Snoop Dogg episode, but that's cool. There's layers.
There you go. And we are coming to you live from the rebuilt Baxter building. So make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News. You can find us on youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. You can also follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN. We're very, very active on Twitter. So please find us there or at the Popcorn Talk. On Facebook, we do have a Facebook. It exists. So that's at facebook.com/Marvel News Show. Follow us. Like us. We're trying to be more active there too. And hey, if you tweet out a link to our show with a message telling people about our live chat, which is one of the best places on earth, Aunt Manthony in the booth will retweet you.
What's up, everybody? Aunt Manthony here in the booth. And can you believe it? Ant-Man is upon us. I cannot wait to run out to my theater this weekend and watch all the glorious.
You must be particularly excited.
Is that you, God?
Yes, my son.
And those dulcet tones that you hear is Mr. B. Dave Walters. You can find him just about everywhere, all over the internet, or playing RPGs, or D&Ding, and please let us know where we can find you.
That is true. I am B. Dave Walters. I do all the things. My main thing right now is I am the DM of Theogony of Kairos, the streaming show on Maze Arcana, where Wednesdays at 7. I'm one of the co-hosts of Ask Your Black Geek Friend. I'm on We're Alive Frontier. I am literally anywhere people will come and let me say words into a microphone.
He's in your living room right now.
Literally, it's like you could set a trap for me if you just like set up a blue Yeti in the living room and a window open.
Spider-Man shaped cookies.
Yes. Right, and exactly. Right next to that awesomeness is some more awesomeness, and we have Joshua Evans. Let them know where they can find you.
On Twitter, Comics Inspire is my main brand, so it's Instagram, Twitter. I got a podcast by the same name, YouTube channel by the same name, and then I guest around. I do things with friends, hang out with popular people.
Excellent. And then, of course, we have our associate producer and awesomeness in her own right. She's on the Cosmic Couch, and we have Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Hello, I am here.
Yeah. So, we are going to jump right in. It is the first part of our title. So, we are going to do, don't worry, everyone, it is a spoiler-free review. We are not giving you any kind of spoiler with this because we want you to enjoy it, well, as much as I did.
Yes.
So, but this, we're going to talk some Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yes.
Spoiler-free.
Dave. There is both an Ant-Man and a Wasp.
Oh, there you go.
Suffer.
Okay, so yeah, just some overall impressions. How did you feel? What was it like for you?
I liked it. TLDR, I gave it a 7. I felt it was a decent follow-up.
I love that you said that.
It's the internet. I mean, let's just get to it.
Right. You know? Okay.
I felt it was a decent follow-up to the first one. I went into the first one with zero expectations, so I think I was a very blank slate to be impressed. This one, I knew what they did in the first one, and so I felt it continued that. I would have liked something different or more or greater depth or greater growth. See the layers.
Okay,
there you go.
Stay
on brand.
But I mean, I liked it fine. See it.
Okay. Amy, how about you? What's going on over there with you and Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Well, having seen it now, I actually really did like it. I really did. And I liked all of the nice action sequences that we got. And the music, and there was an added humor that I know that we got a little bit of in the first movie, but I think it was just kicked up a notch, which I really appreciated, and it surprised me. I liked it way more than I thought I would. Yeah. So, and I love Paul Rudd. He's amazing.
That part. Okay.
Well, I've had the pleasure of seeing it twice now. I couldn't see it the third time just because, like, this has been a real rough month for me of running around everywhere. But I did get to see it twice, and I did do a press junket for Nerdist. So I did get to talk with the cast and everything, but still, no spoilers. Okay, so for this movie, I actually enjoyed it a lot more than I did the original Ant-Man. Not saying anything against that, against Ant-Man,
sure.
But with this, I thought it focused on all the things, all the great things that Ant-Man brought us, you know, having the average Joe criminal be turned into a superhero, and then the whole family background and everything like that with Cassie, and then Michael Peña and having his criminal gang with like a T.I. and David, I always mispronounce his last name, but the guy who plays the Russian, having all of that, and then having the high stakes of that within a superhero realm. You got that, and then it just pumped that volume up for Ant-Man and the Wasp for me. Yeah. I very much felt on Scott Lang's side, where it's like, yeah, he accepted the consequences of things that mm-hmm. the decisions that he had made. Yes. And if you watch Civil War, then you know what I mean with that. So accepted that and had to move forward. And I think that they did that in such a beautiful way for this particular movie.
Yeah, it does a good job of establishing where Ant-Man was during Infinity War. It does a good job of establishing where he's going post-Infinity War. There are two post-credit scenes, I will say that, so make sure you stay all the way to the end.
Yes. It's a Marvel movie. Y'all know.
At this point in the credits roll, you just get comfortable again. That's what your third drink is for.
You know, I gotta say, I don't understand when people like get up and roll out. I'm like, we've been at this for 10 years.
Right. Everybody knows. It's not even like just a fan thing anymore. Everybody knows this.
Yeah.
I will say most definitely, and you see this in the trailer, like mm-hmm. already, you see it in the trailer. Peyton Reed, it's so creative and imaginative the way that the fight scenes are.
Yes.
Like the ones that you have with Ghost and the Wasp. All of this is in the trailer, so I'm not saying anything isn't there. Yeah. Like, you see the Wasp run across the surface of a knife.
Yeah.
But just the way that, and even in the trailer you see this, how she utilizes the fact that she can become as small as this at any time. Yeah. And then you think about yourself, like, in your house with, like, a rolled up magazine, because somehow you still have magazines in your place.
I mean,
and you trying to just go after you trying to go after a bug. I think it was so there. Yeah. I liked her power set, and I really enjoyed the power set of Ghost.
Yes, definitely. I mean, visually, it's interesting, because if you think about it on its face, I'm a superhero that can get really small is not that compelling.
No.
So being able to show that in a way that it is useful and interesting in you know, at times, lethal is not the word I'm looking for, but very combat effective, I suppose, was a really neat thing.
She was super creative. Like, that was the thing that impressed me the most. Like, she's way smarter than he is about how to adapt the technology. Like, just the salt shaker thing had me, like, tripping for days. I was like, that's amazing. That's so cool. I never would have thought of that.
Yeah, absolutely. No. It's like it's thinking outside the box. It's like something like with Dave, like with you doing RPGs, you know, like if you have something like a bugbear and you're a level 2, you don't go straight for the throat. That's not going to work.
First of all, thank you for speaking my language. I appreciate that for my own sub-dialect of nerd. But yeah, absolutely. And I think at the end of the day, that's what keeps people coming back in for these things and keeps people engaged. That you need to show something both visually and depth-wise, and even like, because I felt Doctor Strange did a good job about that, even though it's a while back now.
Yeah.
But visually, the portrayal of the magic and how everything was fractal and everything was changing, and the Dormammu, I've come to bargain. But I will say this: I just read this today. This is also spoiler-free. In the quantum realm, in Ant-Man, there are apparently literally frames of upcoming Marvel films. They did it in the first one.
Really?
And they were like, people didn't know until like the Blu-ray when people were like pausing. Like, wait a second. And like Kevin Feige and the director, they have confirmed.
They are so slick with this. Very I love nice. That.
Yeah, because we had like little hints of it in Doctor Strange and then original Ant-Man, and now
That's cool.
Yeah.
So bring your Zoom monocle.
There you go.
To the theater. Right.
Yeah. It looks like I need to do that third show.
Exactly. Right.
Sometime this week. Mm-hmm. And then along with that, for any people that are Michael Pena fans, which is like me, just the comedy, they definitely bring it. Like, yeah, if you wonder, yeah, like, oh, will they do the story with Michael Pena? Yeah. I mean, because they did it, Ant-Man. And it's done, sure, in such a beautiful way. And I'm so excited for you to see that. And mm-hmm, then, like, you know, tweet us with that. We'll just, like, share that enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, is there anything else about Ant-Man and Wasp? I mean, family, you know, we have Cassie in there. And
props to Paul Rudd because he got super carved up.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
we got some chiseled Rudd. So some chiseled Paul Rudd happened.
What happened was he saw Black Panther. He's like, oh, that's the bar. Right. Okay. Oh, all right.
I like that.
I'm also cool. Look at me. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Once you see a Killmonger, then it's like, oh, maybe I need to step up my superhero ab game.
Right.
At least try. Yeah, totally. I agree. Yeah. I mean, looking forward to the next one. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I don't have a scoring system for it. I either like something or I don't. And you can tell.
That's pretty good.
Because then I'll be like, well, yeah, you should see this because...
Pass, fail.
Or I'll be like, oh my God, see that because of this.
Yeah. Right.
So this is a oh my God for me. See it.
There you go.
It's rated Ermagerd.
Yes, Ermagerd. Yeah, it's super funny and very rewatchable. So, but moving on. Mm. Wow. So, Fantastic Four, they're back. Fantastic Four in the comic books.
That's good.
Fantastic Four is back in the comic books.
Important clarification.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. So returning to Marvel Comics, there is a big launch. I believe it is August 8th. Yes. Definitely in August. And they're going to do an all-out release party. They are going all out for Fantastic Four number one. So it's like you missed nothing.
Right.
And it's going to be written by Dan Slott. And the artwork will be Sarah Pacelli. Wow. This has happened. Okay, absolutely. The last time we had Fantastic Four, when that was canceled, that was about 3 years ago, 2015, mm-hmm, when it was like, okay, and we're going to stop doing this now.
Yeah.
Enjoy your movies.
A part of that was a civil war with Sony also. And Marvel and Sony were beefing over the rights to the Fantastic Four, and they were like, cool, well, we'll literally starve you out. So, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, your movie's bad and nobody's...
Good luck!
Yeah, right, yeah. And we're also going to take Michael B. Johnson off your hands. Yeah. Yeah,
right. Did you say Michael B. Johnson?
Mm-hmm, because he was in the bad Fantastic Four and then he was Killmonger.
Oh, Michael B. Jordan.
Jordan.
That's fine.
Michael Johnson is a UFC fighter, yeah, sorry.
Oh, nice, but, nice. Mm-hmm. And then... you know, I guess we can go ahead and say that the reason why this is happening and that basically we're just waiting for the ink to dry on this contract. $71.3 billion
for, all powerful.
Wow, Disney. Disney's doing that thing. I mean, technically speaking, there is still some time for Comcast to come with a better offer than $71.3 billion. But Disney's acting like this is done.
Yeah.
Right.
And Disney has patience, confidence,
and
money.
And also resource.
So, like, they are supposed to be, I believe the shareholder vote for that is July 27th at, like, 10 a.m. in New York. So, hey.
It's going to be a wrap.
So, and then for them to be doing this big push with Fantastic Four, how do you feel about this? You feel like we have Fantastic Four back in the MCU also? Or tell me how you feel about Fantastic Four coming out and comics again?
Yeah, I think, one, we're going to. I think people that are... Because believe it or not, the first two Fantastic Four movies, I didn't hate. I mean, I thought they worked fine. You know, Michael Chiklis and all that.
Right, the 2005 Fantastic Four, and then Rise of the Silver
Chris
Surfer.
Was still eight, torch.
Oh, eight, and then, I think that was 08. And then 2015 was Fantastic Four again.
Yeah, that's the one we don't speak of.
Hey, they had a fantastic cast.
They did.
Fantastic cast.
That was where it ended.
But that makes it worse, though. Like, that makes it worse.
Walmart can't get rid of it out of the $5 bin.
Yeah, like, when you have talented people and you still deliver garbage. And I think that was Josh Trank being a diva because his previous one, Chronicle was great, you know. So he had it in him to deliver a great superhero movie. But I think that's a mistake people make when they're dealing with these iconic characters, is that in order to make this valid, it has to be a bold reimagining. And it's like, no, it doesn't.
You don't have to kill the past.
Yeah, you don't. Well, I think that's why Captain America is working so well in the cinematic universe, because they've portrayed him as the ultimate soldier and the quintessential American, which is what that
character is. Which is weird that they're even able to do that in modern times. Like, how did you make this 70s throwback hero work? But they did.
They did, in fact. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's fun. Just like kind of a little offshoot, Kevin Feige even said, like, for 2DC, he was like, hey, you know, go back to the 70s Superman, like the original one, that he personally kept on using that as an inspiration for him for, you know, the MCU. So, yeah, you're not off base with that at all.
Yeah.
It's like that original source material, there's a lot to be had there.
Well, you know, the thing that originally put me on the map and why I'm on the interwebs today is I do a lot of panel experiences where I talk about the symbolic significance of these, like, superhero stories. I'm doing it again at Comic-Con Saturday at 7. And you know, the depth and the meaning behind this. Superman and Captain America both fulfill the same narrative function, where they are the ideal. Yeah. They're what everyone should ascribe to.
Yeah.
Superman is the ultimate person, basically, and Captain America is the ultimate American.
Yeah.
Basically.
Right.
And in... I think both of those characters, if you were to try and create them today, you'd get laughed at the theater.
Yeah.
But they're important enough, though, that everybody still wants them, though. I think that's why everybody had a visceral reaction to, like, a gloomy Superman.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they'd have a visceral reaction to a gloomy Captain America.
Yeah.
But, absolutely. I mean, him as Nomad, though, is dope.
Something that I am excited about, like, in the world that we are in now, with them possibly, we'll just, you know what, I'm just going to confirm it. They're going to make a Fantastic Four for us. It's going to exist in the MCU.
There's too much money in it.
We're just going to go from that baseline with it.
Yeah.
But I'm so excited for where we are right now, like when we are post-Wonder Woman, we're about to be in the thick of Captain Marvel, you know, and then, like, if you're going into, like, you know, there's Birds of Prey is going to happen and everything like that. For them to have all of this and the Dora Milaje, you know, we have all of these incredibly strong, you know, we have all of that. I am so excited on where they will set our first family, because, like, when you think about when a movie first comes out and then the world and the society that it is in at that time, it does reflect, you know, the tastes and the experiences of the writers and the directors of that time.
Yeah.
So us having that now,
want me to tell you what I foresee as a holy man?
Okay.
You know? Like, I have no greater insight into this than anybody
else. Okay, because you see where I'm going. Yeah, all right,
you know what? In fact, finish your point. Let me know.
No, it's just like Sue Storm in general, and then like the Rogues Gallery that you have with Fantastic Four when you're doing stuff like the Frightful Four, if you're doing Annihilus, if you want to throw the Beyonder in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it will be done in such a great way. I mean, we had Ego the Living Planet, and it worked.
Yeah.
And, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm so excited with the depth of character and the wacky behind material that they can, like, put into this.
Yeah.
Dave, go ahead.
I'm going to say two things. This, again, this is what I foresee as a holy man with no like, greater access.
Great divination.
Yeah, exactly. This is through the will of the living force.
Right.
These are the two predictions I'm going to make. I'm going to say they go the same way with their origin story that they did with the Incredible Hulk, the Edward Norton Incredible Hulk, where it literally was a 10-second intro. It's like, oh, I'm a scientist, gamma radiation, an explosion, I'm the Hulk, movie.
And then into the movie,
we're going to see them arrive fully formed as we're the Fantastic Four. That's the first thing I predict. Or at least, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
This was the accident on the rocket, and now...
You think they might backtrack it like they are with Captain Marvel, where she's taking place in 1991?
I hope they follow the format that they kind of did with the Incredible. Where it's not all the way present, but it's just enough to where we still connect to the time and they can do, like, their superhero
thing. Hey, I'm vibing on both of these.
I think they're going to do grand cinematics. They'll be too old if they push it too far back in the past. The second thing, and this might tie it into that, they will do the Super Skrull. So if Captain Marvel is about the Skrull invasion, then Fantastic Four very well may be set back.
They were getting Super Skrull, which, you know, can lead to the Hulkling, which could lead to so many other things. Yeah. I mean, this is some great nerding. I love nerd speculation.
this was but talking specifically about these, like, you know, 90s throwback movies that they're making now. You and I talked again, I think enough time has passed after Infinity War that if you're very, very serious about it, you should have seen it by now. So this is a mild throwback to the after credit scene in Infinity War.
Yes.
Where a certain somebody has a cosmic Nokia pager.
And
I had a real problem that I was like, if you had that, I know of at least two other times you'd have made that call. And some of that is I'm like, okay, you can't really be held prisoner to filmmaking decisions that were made 10 years ago.
Right.
Okay. But there needs to be an on-screen explanation for us, like, bro, use it for this. Right. But
we're just gonna spoil it. Because her movie is retro and Infinity War is where it is, she could very well have been deep space on any type of mission. He did not want to like recall her from it. So I feel like that's the easy fix.
Amy, how's our chat room going with their speculation? I know they have pitches.
There is
no way you can't think about Fantastic Four being part of the MCU again and not have some pitches going on right now.
Oh yeah.
Let me just say, internet. Holes opened in the sky and space dragons flew out of them. Okay?
That's true. That did happen.
If you have a deep space homie, that's the time that you would have made that call.
But sorry, what if, because they changed the storyline, so what if she's actually off fighting the personification of death? Because that wasn't deviated from Thanos' storyline that way.
There's still time.
Thought process is like so maybe we're retiring the negative zone for a while because of because of Fantastic Four and maybe the quantum realm kind of replaces that. I had this conversation with John Schnepp like a couple of days ago, probably over Vegas, probably over drinks, goodness knows, and
he has that effect on people, just clouds your recollection.
I think we were at Absinthe at the time, and there was a drink called the Green Fairy, and there was a show going on.
You're not supposed to give up all your Vegas stuff. The nerd stuff does not stop.
No, but with that, it's like, yeah, the quantum realm is, let's just say the quantum realm is so hot right now. Mm-hmm. So, and there's so much depth to be explored there. Sure. I instead of having it where the Fantastic Four, like Reed Richards, is trying to go into the negative zone, and he discovers the negative zone to then save, you know, he's getting it was anti-particles or anti-matter particles.
Mm-hmm. I would love
for it to be for going into the quantum realm.
Yeah.
But that's a little bit of my pitch. Amy, what is the chat room doing like right now?
So, well, some of them are a little bit sad about thinking that the first, not generation, but the first, like, part of Marvel is coming to an end, you know, the first 10 years. But we do still have some pitches. Langley M. Neely said, my pitch is start in the 60s, go into the neg zone, and then come out in the present.
Huh.
There you go.
So time traveling. Sky Patterson says, Peyton Reed directing a Fantastic Four film set in the 1980s New York City could be interesting.
With the old school environment.
Oh, I see that someone brought up Annihilus. Yes, Annihilus. The Cockroach King.
It's true. With the flamings in the mouth, you need all that. Yeah.
My cosmic control rod.
I will say this, though. It makes sense if they backdate it.
Yes.
Because there's the two problems that you have to always answer is, again, where were you when there were sky dragons? You know, at least you need an answer for that.
Right.
And this has just kind of always been a thing you just had to accept about Marvel Comics is New York City is mad eventful. You know?
That's like, true. There's a lot of stuff happening.
Constantly.
All parts of the city.
Yeah, I feel like I would depart New York, like, fairly quickly.
You're just the Fantastic Four family vacation. That's
true. Like we're live from the Baxter Building, and again, the Baxter Building got destroyed. So that's my point, illustrated practically.
Right.
Yeah.
Really quickly, Seattle KO said, "Live action Incredibles movie meets Lost in Space."
Oh,
basically, I really feel
that's
like
pretty cool. Do they mean like Lost in Space? Lost in Space, like what we have
Netflix?
Now?
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I mean, originally they were astronauts. I'm actually fine with they went to space and got straight up hit.
That
with
was
cosmic
Mark
rays.
Way's yeah. run, right? When they were like. Exploring space and everything. That would be good. It's perfectly timed. Everything's all cosmic now anyways.
You got your Captain Marvel tie-in, you got your Guardians of the Galaxy tie-in, you got your explanation of where they've been all this time.
Yes.
It's the trifecta.
Yes.
And Amy, if you can chat the chat room.
Yes, got it. Let's keep it positive, guys.
Yeah, let's keep it positive. Otherwise, time out and, you know, whatever.
Bye.
There are other channels that you can watch.
It's true.
Mm. All right, so we're going to do like just a a splattering of Kevin Feige news for everything, like a lot of like little updates, like with things where he's talking about Avengers 4. Yeah, where it's like, hey, so what's supposed to happen? You know, because like half of the superheroes are, right, you know, such and such, and they disappear. And it's like, when asked if characters like Black Panther will appear in any trailers, he's like,
spoiler
no,
alert,
they're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
It's been a little bit.
Everybody with confirmed sequels is dead.
It's not how you die. It's how you live before you die.
You know, that is an issue that I'm still very much grappling with, is, again, attempting to be vague, but I reiterate, if you really cared, you should have seen it by now.
Just go for it.
The deaths at the beginning of the movie of Infinity War.
Yes.
I understand that was establishing the villainy of Thanos. You know,
are we going into Thanos
now? No, yeah, you might as well. But
okay, let's go.
As any pro wrestling fan knows, that's how you put the heel over, by having him beat the old tough guy.
Yes.
I get it. But if all of the contribution that those characters have made in this universe up until now get just such a disingenuous end, where it's like neck broke, stabbed, ship blown up, you know, I'm like, what? You know, like, as a holy man, not a spoiler, I think time is going to get rewound back to before Thanos gets even the first gem. And if he doesn't even get the first gem, then none of that happens, and that's how everybody comes back. Right. That is my prediction.
Okay,
but Thanos, I know you have a very nuanced.
Why don't we save that for a Thanos section?
Okay, we'll
section.
Come back to the Mad Titan.
But when Kevin Feige was asked if things will definitely go all in a cosmic direction, he said, "We're holding off on specifics on all of it for all the same reasons we hold off on everything. For the most part, it's keep the surprises going. The one thing I'll say is, the mere fact that these films exist, people shouldn't take any indication that they can now guess what will happen."
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
That's good. I like that.
That's
terrifying.
Isn't that?
But amazing.
I like it. And Avengers 4, hopefully, hits theaters May 3rd, 2019. Right. Sure,
yeah.
So,
yeah. You know, there is
May 4th. Yeah.
Roughly a 4% chance. 4% is being generous. That a lot of the people that went away, they're going to leave out of it, possibly out of the entire movie, if they can get any of the X-Men and the Fantastic Four and all that stuff before then. The thing is, they've shot a lot of that movie, so I don't know. It would be like a giant Hail Mary if they pull that off. But if you have, like, the X-Men are the one that saved the world, and then, like, right at the very end, you get those people back?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe not, like, all the X-Men. Maybe just one.
Yeah. But it's a long bomb, though. Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
but
3.5%.
Kevin Feige did go further to talk about Spider-Man.
Yes.
Yeah, Spider-Man Far From Home. He said he compared the lighter tone to Ant-Man and the Wasp. That's really nice to know. Much like Ant-Man and the Wasp, there are things that people know about that movie, which is a great deal of the movie, the villain of the movie, the storyline of the film, that we're shooting in Europe and that Peter Parker goes on continuing after Captain America Civil War. As a big, giant superhero class movie. The fallout of that in Homecoming was John Hughes and him going to his high school. So that's what's fun to us about Spider-Man movies. And again, going from Infinity War to Ant-Man and the Wasp, the tonal shift. So he's talking about that. We know that it is going to be for Spider-Man Far From Home. I'm just going to skip to that one. For Spider-Man Far From Home, we know, and we were asking, so what does that mean? My thought was, yes, geographical, but also thematic kind of a deal.
Sure.
But with this, Kevin Feige has answered. He answered, he says, we know it's the summer vacation. I think he's going to Europe with his friends. So great.
Right.
Did you see Orlando Bloom petitioning to be Captain Britain?
Yes, so we've talked about that on here. Captain Britain.
I would accept it. I would accept it.
Would you?
I'd accept it, yeah. I mean, he's due for another hit. He got Legolas right and then nothing since. So I feel like it's time. The pendulum should have swung. Yeah. Here's my issue with that is, yes, Spider-Man is supposed to be a lighthearted, jovial, fun character. In fact, I think that's the number one thing Marvel's really gotten right, that he's a kid having a good time.
Well, at least for right now.
Yeah.
And then growth.
Well, but I would even say Peter Parker, for the most part, is always having a good time. Like, some terrible things happen to him, but it's because he's generally a high emotion, high...
He's a good person.
Yeah, well, the constant chattering and the never shutting up. Yeah. That's what they got so right in Civil War, mm-hmm. where he's just chattering nonstop. Yeah, yeah. And so, obviously, some of the events of Infinity War are especially wrenching. Mm-hmm. But I think it would be disingenuous, unless Infinity War ends on a relative high point, to be like, man, that apocalypse was weird. Anyway, summer vacation.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
But, well, think about it. I mean, the world has to go on afterwards.
That's true.
It's one of those things. I mean, that's something that's both beautiful and tragic with us as, you know, being human beings. We adapt to just about anything. Yeah. It's a survival thing, yes, but it's also kind of gorgeous.
Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good.
Oh, stop.
See that? Yeah. So now you're like,
why'd you have to bring that up?
Exactly.
But he is a teenager. So once Infinity fully resolves next year, he is a teenager. And the whole, like, I just want to get away. I want to go as far away. It's about, like, the angsty teen thing still, I feel like, somewhat applies to him.
And I think that's kind of my criticism of what Feige's saying is that, yeah, okay, we don't know how this is going to get fixed.
Yeah.
But you're not going to convince any of us that it's not going to get fixed.
Well, yeah, we know.
You know what I mean? That he's all like, ooh, you don't know. It's like, but we do, bro.
Yeah.
You announced the slate. We do. Yeah. I personally
think
there's only two Avengers that are finally not coming home. And I won't say who they are because it's not a spoiler. It's just my theory.
Well, I think it's Iron Man and Captain America.
I think Iron Man and Captain America are I think they're going to give up their lives to do whatever has to happen. And that will be pivotal to fixing everything. I think those two are done.
Yeah.
I think the rest of them are going to live. I think those two are dead.
I think because of the way that it's set up, I mean, you have other people that can pick up the Captain America mantle.
Sure.
And, you know, keep in mind that Captain America is an ideal. It's Chris Evans. We know that. It's Chris Evans. But also, it's Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be Bucky. That can be Falcon. Mm-hmm. You know, that could be somebody that we aren't thinking of right now.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they've thought about that for the MCU.
Yeah.
I mean, leading into that, I mean, Kevin Feige has said many a time, or he has been asked many a time, be like, oh, so how about some female-led Marvel movies kind of a thing, such as, you know, where Tessa Thompson talked to him about that. So, you know, how do y'all feel about that? You want some...
When I saw Ragnarok and Valkyrie, I was like, when it's the scene specifically where it's they're on, like, the flying horses going against Hela, I was like, I want to see a whole movie
of the Valkyrie? Valkyrie movie?
Valkyrie, just...
Oh, okay.
It could be her led. Like, I was like, I need more of whatever this mythic feel is. And I mean, she was great as Valkyrie.
Oh, because I was thinking something like a bring singularity in, but then you'd have to introduce, you know, exactly everything that she is. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dave.
You know, I'm all Captain Diversity on the interwebs and talking about, like, inclusion while all these things are important. But I think a key ingredient of making any valid project is it needs to be valid on its own legs.
Absolutely.
Like, if you set out to make the black movie, or if you set out to make the female movie, the movie's going to be garbage.
Yeah.
Set out to make a great movie that happens to feature these people. That's why Black Panther worked, because it is internally consistent and it just makes sense on its own. Oh, and by the way, here's all these gorgeous black people in this idyllic portrayal of the motherland.
That's true.
And so I think it's going to be the same thing. I think if you set out to make an interesting, compelling superhero film,
right, like just the best story.
Yes.
Yeah.
With the right people on both sides of the camera.
Yes.
Then it's going to work. I think if they come at it like, well, we've got these 12 females, that's clearly all it takes to make a movie. I'm going to be like,
right. Because then that then hurts the movement, because then all the people are going to be like, oh,
100%.
It had a woman at the front of it. It flopped. It must have been because of the woman, not like the writers and the producers.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing that a lot of, not a lot, I'm not going to say a lot, but some people like to fall back on.
Vocal
It doesn't make sense.
No.
Or it's not because of somebody's gender identity that something does not go to the level that you think
they're
that it would.
Actors. They're given what to do.
Yeah.
It's like the thing that they're given is not
there's
good.
There's a lot of things that happen with all of these. But speaking of which, another like spattering of things.
Mm-hmm.
So Doctor Strange sequel has been confirmed. Yes, we will definitely say it has. Because, you know, Kevin Feige has said that the Marvel universe is bound to get stranger. Doctor Strange, you know, whenever we do another Strange one, which we will do, it will be a number of years from the first Strange, and yet he's a very big part of Avengers Infinity War. So it is just a good problem to have when you have too many beloved characters that people want to see more of, whilst keeping to our core belief that we need to keep exploring nuance and keep doing different types of things.
I don't think superhero fatigue is a thing. I don't think, you know, any of these franchise fatigues are a thing. I think if you continue putting out interesting, compelling content, people will show up to consume it. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you could put a Marvel movie out every week, and if they're legit, I'm a go.
As opposed to like 3 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Week.
Yeah.
3 years.
Yeah, well, but I mean, but again, when they stop working, like, again, I realize we're here to talk about Marvel, but I'm a super Star Wars fanboy, but Solo wasn't a very good movie. It just wasn't. So, I don't feel like they need to feel like it's a jukebox that just keeps punching them out. I mean, do it right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, keep doing it. Yeah. So, okay. I think any of these major franchise tent poles we've seen so far, we're going to see more of them, except the Hulk. We may never get
And it's also taking the superhero world and stuff and just dropping it in a genre. So it's not necessarily a superhero movie. It's a romance. Yeah. It's a spy thriller.
Yeah.
Yeah, they cross, it just happens to have
superhero.
Yeah. But that reminds me of Silver and Black, where that's just kind of been put on hiatus. You know, Gina Prince Blythewood, and hey, it's not right. I don't want you to just do it. Yeah. I want you to do it right, or just hold off.
Well, I would like to see a Black Widow movie where she's basically James Bond, you know, where it's like, here's Natasha Romanoff being a super spy.
Right.
You know, and like, that's what the movie's about.
Yeah.
And I'm super fine with that, though. But again, not because we have to make a female superhero movie.
Right.
No, because you want to make a legit Black Widow movie.
Right.
You know,
right.
Scarlett Johansson has done her part. The character's established. She's interesting. Right. She's compelling.
We know she's lethal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we know she can do it. Then do that. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. And then I just really like the whole idea of a Doctor Strange movie, because you know what happened to Baron Mordo. You know, we have Chiwetel Ejiofor. I hope I said that right. He's phenomenal, and I want that to come back around.
I just want 90 minutes of Dormammu. I've come to bargain.
I'm sure that's on YouTube somewhere.
Yeah. 110 hours of Dormammu. I've come to bargain. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah,
totally. I love that. And there can also be kind of a cross between Doctor Strange and Black Panther if they have Brother Voodoo in there. So just saying.
There you go. There you go.
There's options.
Just throwing that out.
They have a lot they can do.
Dare you have an extensive encyclopedic knowledge of the material.
I'm Johnny Nerdy Seed.
How dare you, madam?
Yes. For talking about your Thanos thing before. So Thanos extended. It is a possibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jim Starlin is the... he's the source of the rumor, correct? Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Where Avengers Infinity War may get an extended cut on home video that will include more of Thanos' backstory. We're talking about 30 extra minutes of Thanos footage that was cut. So, there's a lot there that we could mine.
You know what? I'm passing this to you. I know this is important.
I know that you have a theory, Josh.
No, I'll keep it brief. Okay. I won't do my rant. I've had so many arguments about this. I don't see what is the 30 minutes going to be of? Like, I feel like, and I was saying this earlier, I feel like Thanos is the epitome of like 2018 waste your time. Like, he didn't even accomplish his goal. He has an infinity gauntlet. He kills half the people, which only buys him, 100,000 years? Like, he should have just increased resources or like... She did a lot of stuff. So, like, 30 more minutes. It didn't help. I know we're doing Marvel new stuff, but it didn't help Batman versus Superman to add 30 minutes. It didn't make it, like, an overall, like, this is a fantastic movie. I don't want to feel bad for him.
That is a whole other conversation, though. And then we'll get into the Snyder Cut and everything. That's a whole other conversation.
I'm all for the Snyder Cut, for the record. Let me say that now. Have you ever read the original Infinity Gauntlet?
No.
Right.
But isn't his original thing is he's trying to impress death, right?
Yes.
And
that's the story that I wanted.
Yeah. Well, but here's the problem with that. And I mean, I loved the original Infinity War. But in the year 2018, I'm going to kill half of all life in the universe to impress a girl. Won't fly.
But I feel like I want
quite like it used to.
That's true, but I think they could have gone deeper, because then you, like, if he's trying to impress death, and I feel like they really could have dug into the philosophy of, like, why everybody dies. Sure. So why do we put so much effort into being alive? Like, sure, just go into all of that. And like, why is he trying to impress them? Can death be impressed? Like, really just dig into it.
I will say also, they could have completely finally shut DC out if that had been his... No, actually, I changed my argument midstream. Okay. I think they changed Thanos' story to shut DC out because they're moving towards Darkseid, and Darkseid wants the anti-life equation, but Darkseid mm-hmm. wants to kill everything everywhere because, you know,
right.
because it's I'm Darkseid.
Yeah. So which brings it back around to Annihilus, who wants to kill everybody everywhere and then just be the sole survivor because... Yep. He's a Nihilist.
There you go.
Well, yeah, it all. Well, you know, the most
all connected.
The most compelling so argument of those I've ever seen, again, at the grand heresy of mentioning DC, was Owl Man in the Crisis on Two Earths in the DC animated movie, where he's like, because it's the only thing I can do that matters. Yes. I have to kill everybody because everything else, like, there's some quantum variation, you know. So back to Thanos.
Even that's an acceptable explanation.
Yeah, well, but back to Thanos. I think, well, one, the story's only half over.
Right.
Definitely. I think we have Farmer Thanos happening in there.
I don't know.
We're getting some Farmer Thanos.
I don't know that I'm super pumped about Farmer Thanos.
You know what? I want some Farmer Thanos because I actually kind of felt for Thanos. I mean, oh, he's a maniac. He's a maniac. Right. He's completely wrong. But then it's also
a
like,
mad titan.
You know what? That was a beautiful punchline to end that on. So.
Yeah.
Disrupted her own thought stream.
Yeah, no. We can talk more Thanos, and you can talk Thanos in the comments tweet us with that. But unfortunately, for time constraints, we do have to move on to Morbius. Because Jared Leto.
Right.
Yes. Jared Leto. That's so he's adding. Yeah, he's a. Dude is going super, super villain. Because, Sony Pictures is developing a solo spinoff project for Morbius. Morbius.
Uh-huh. Oh. Can you imagine Matrix remake? I feel like that's inevitable.
For Morbius, the living vampire. So this would be set to follow the anti-hero exploits of the blood-sucking Superman antagonist. And this is off of a script by Burke
Spider-Man
Sharpless
antagonist.
And Matt Sazama.
Superman antagonist.
Did I say Superman? Yeah. Maybe I just have Superman on the ring.
True, because Superman would work Morbius.
Oh, oh man.
It'd be a short day.
Thank you.
Drag him to the
But
summer.
Yeah, this is the same duo that did the 217 Power Rangers film reboot and most lately, Lost in Space for Netflix. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of excited about that for Morbius. I will say completely, when I was thinking about the Rogues Gallery of Spider-Man, I did not... Morbius
right.
for, you know, first.
Right.
That is just me. But how do y'all feel about this Morbius news and Jared Leto?
I would love it if this ends up them going full Darkstalkers. That whole thing in the 90s that was Blade, Morbius, Johnny Blaze.
I love that brings Blade back in.
Back into the whole thing.
Yeah. It's like everybody be act natural. Act natural.
Right.
And it's Ghost Rider. Right. I mean, I'm all for it. I like Jared Leto a lot. I liked him fine as the Joker in Suicide Squad. I think that... That movie suffered from the edit. And so the he's a gifted actor. He looks like Morbius.
Right.
I think I do have some real concerns about Venom, as we were talking about before. But I mean, my number one concern, though, is I feel like Sony is saying, we've got this stuff. We know it's important, but we really actually don't know what to do with it. Yeah. Right. Not really.
Yeah.
You know, it's like right now, if we had like a metal sphere that we were like, well, this is a $10 billion quantum calculator. And it's like, well, I mean, okay, but...
Do we light it?
Like, yeah, I mean, I'm touching my phone to it.
I
know it's important, but I don't...
They have a lot of strong properties.
Meh. Well, it's like when they were talking about doing a Sinister Six movie without Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I'm like, then you probably shouldn't be allowed at the table to discuss
this. That's a very, very interesting prospect that I would want to like sit down and really talk to the person about, to be like, okay, so...
Wow. And for what?
Because they teamed up to fight Spider-Man, so why are they a team now?
Yeah, I mean, I would understand if you're like a taking it for one of them, like, to back to the origins, like my villain origins, where they're like a regular person, stuff happens to them, and you know, it projects, you know, on and out.
Sure.
But at, you know, eventually, I'm going to need some Spider-Man, you know, eventually. But
I think the only way you could do a standalone Sinister Six movie is if you went full Old Man Logan, where you're like, the six of us are basically going to war to slice up the city. And maybe somewhere along the way we encounter like a mutual, you know, a reason to have a mutual understanding type thing. And then like go the rest of the way.
That would be
Spider-Man.
You would have to have Spider-Man at least like in prison somewhere, bleeding. Like, okay, we understand why he's not here.
Right.
I love these nerd conversations. Disney is completely killing it this year. We already know this. I mean, everything from Greatest Showman to Jumanji to Black Panther. A movie called Black Panther. Deadpool 2. Avengers Infinity War. And I predict that Ant-Man and the Wasp will do extremely well because it is a family-friendly movie.
Yeah.
It's great. I don't see any reason for you not to see it opening weekend, besides you being too busy and then go see it like two weekends later.
It's one
of those movies that you can see it anytime.
Yeah.
Again, you vote with your wallet. Even if you think it's maybe not be like 100% your cup of tea, if you want to see anything even close.
Right.
Like if you want to see representation of strong like female superheroes, if you want to see more action comedies, just want more things, then see the thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's just the overall box office for everything is just they're super.
They've got like a third.
And
I forgot
to say Incredibles 2. Oh my god!
Oh yeah, Incredibles 2 was delightful.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. That's a lot. So we're gonna go into TV talk.
Marvel Movie News. We're talking TV time.
Oh, and thank you, chat room. I was confusing some of my movies there. I confused some movies that were Sony with Disney. I was looking over overall gross box office for America. But yes, thank you for the correction. So
they were all Marvel movies. They weren't all Disney movies.
They're all Marvel movies.
You know.
Okay, so for TV, so Luke Cage season 2, or Luke Cage just in general.
Mm-hmm.
I know that episodes 1 through 3 were talked about last week with Koi and Trevor kind of a thing. Okay, so I know not everybody in the room has had a chance to see all of season 2. I was going to discuss some of 4, 5, and 6, but how about we just do like some overall impressions, like with
overall
Luke
Cage-isms.
Mm-hmm. Some overall Cage,
some
you know,
Christmas-ing.
Kind of a thing, because I think that is that's very helpful for people that are perhaps they've only seen the Netflix you know episodes,
right?
Or perhaps there are people that have only read the comic books and are just I don't know if I should even bother you know watching this. That's like you know so many episodes. I have my life to live or any way, shape, or form. So maybe
so LA.
Yeah, so let's just do some general Cage-isms, and then I'll go a little bit more specific into episodes 4, 5, and 6. But I'm not going to do anything spoilery. Just talking about characters like Bushmaster, played by Mustafa Shakir, or Tilda, played by Gabrielle Dennis, Alfrey Woodard, Mariah. Go ahead and give me your impressions.
She acts the heck out of that role.
Oh my god!
She's always borderline. Unstable, but then she pulls it together to do like some dark stuff, and I was like, "Whoa, you're really killing this acting stuff." Luke Cage is good.
It's good.
I will say I miss Cottonmouth. He's like he was my favorite.
He was the best part of the first.
I don't think they really knew how well he was gonna like connect. I was like, he was amazing. But Bushmaster, I know you're going like into it like later with like the season 2 stuff, but Bushmaster is fantastic.
Yeah, I really enjoyed with that particular actor, Mustafa, what he has brought to it, because it's you see all dimensions of a person with what he's doing there. Because yes, he's a killer. Yes, he's brutal. Does he have reasons? Yes, he does. And in that sense, I love the parallel that you get with season 1's Cottonmouth, that you get with Mahershala Ali, with what he brought to Cottonmouth. because you feel a vulnerability for Bushmaster, and then you're also like, wait, you're the bad guy. You gotta be buried, man.
That's why Killmonger worked. Because when you listen to Killmonger and his motivation, you're like, oh, what, dog? Your ex is kind of right.
Right. Like, I kind of agree with you, but these methods, man, I can't ride the train with you.
You're not supposed to say
it.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the significance of Luke Cage is he was one of the first major black superheroes. I think he was the first one to star in a book, but this being the internet, if I'm wrong, it's been corrected in the next 10 seconds. But if he wasn't the very first, he was definitely one of the first. I liked the fact that originally he's a hero for hire. He's like, I'll help you if you pay me. But I understand now that it'll be a little cliche that the one like major black superhero is like, you gotta break me off type thing.
If anything, but season two is kind of the script is flipped because he has the world around him being like, oh, dude, you should get paid for this.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I want to, you know, in fact, that's one of the things in the episodes 4, 5, and 6 where it's like, no, I'll pay you. Yeah. You know, you're my hero for hire.
Yeah.
You know, let's do this. Like in one episode, a super fan actually gets a hold of his services for a very substantial sum, actually. Could, you know, that's a pretty good price tag.
You got to keep the lights on. That's like the great paradox of like laying your life down and trying to save people.
You know, me as a storyteller, I write a lot of superhero stories. And I always try and look at it through the lens of like, well, what would actually happen?
Sure.
You know, not with the cliches of what would actually happen.
Yeah.
And what would actually happen is he'd get drafted by the NFL. You know what I mean? Like,
that. They would approach him.
Yeah.
And I will say they address that also in season two. Yeah. I'm very excited for people to see, because these are excellent points to bring up because they're real world circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because and for that, I'm just to go a little bit nerdy. Okay, so the Unlimited Class Wrestling Federation, I've been talking about this a lot, where it's like, you know, that's kind of a deep dive in and comics. But it's like you have these wrestlers that are superpowered. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit too superpowered to be actually in wrestling or to be athletes anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So then they have to like do their own league.
Spider-Man and Ben Grimm.
The Thing. And then they even have some Eternals, like the Beyonder, like jumping in there.
Yeah, yeah. Does he show up? I think he has to show up in his Elvis jumpsuit, though, if the Beyonder.
Right, with the like, curly hair.
Right, totally.
Like, really? So, but yeah, but going back to Luke Cage season two. With this, I have to say, and I love that you brought up, you know, Alfre Woodard, because her as Mariah Dillard, or I guess Mariah Stokes, however, you know, depending on the progression of where you are in this, she is chilling and vulnerable and wow, you want her on your side, but you also don't want her to know your name same time.
It's such an odd division between Marvel Cinematic and Marvel TV, because when she showed up in Avengers 2 in that cameo, you know, you were like, oh, okay, this is going to be significant. Oh, it's not. Oh, okay. Yeah, All right.
I
assume she did the cameo, and then Luke Cage came about afterwards, and it was just like, it is what it is, you know? But it was a weird thing to, like, see her in two different places and completely unrelated at the same time. But you're right, she is a masterful actor.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the fact, more than anything, we're at a point where really, truly talented people can be in these superhero movies, like Glenn Close and Guardians and stuff, and have it like be okay.
We're getting all the talent.
you don't have to be embarrassed about being a geek.
We got
anymore.
Angela Bassett. The rest of them can fall in line. She's my queen. Obviously,
I want more of her. She's my queen mother.
She's Ramonda. But yeah, that's going to be our little Luke Cage talk for right now, because of time willing. And yes, Matt Key gave me this little Luke Cage.
Sweet Christmas.
Indeed. So moving on with our TV talk. So Cloak and Dagger, have y'all been watching? Episode 5 has dropped, and it, oh my God, I loved,
man,
I loved this episode.
Layers
to this, so yes. Nice. Not to be too spoilery, and also to keep it short, because we're kind of running.
Out of time. I'll say really quickly that my favorite part, and trying not to keep it super spoilery.
Yeah, but still.
Right, but still, in the basketball game where the ref was being hard on the dude on the other team who was black, and just seeing like his conflict with like dealing with this white dude in power, and it's like, we're both black, but we're like opposite team, so like I should be like glad that the call is in my favor, but he was just like super bothered by it, and that I don't know, like I liked seeing that conflict. I liked the conflict that he deals with and the levels and the length they go to like showcase that.
Yeah, I think Cloak and Dagger has been really good about to keep it as a simple term, the unfairness that comes with what lot that you were born into in life. Yeah. And like with that in particular, where it's like, oh, the prestigious championship school that obviously has the ref like in their favor.
Yeah.
And then, you know, having to deal with a situation like that and being on that side, yeah, and you can just as easily be on the other side.
Yeah.
Yep. Because it's, it's a thing where it's like people would think that racism doesn't exist when it goes to a class issue, but it's like they're kind of hand in hand at the same time.
Again, back to being Captain Diversity, you only get those stories mm-hmm. when you have the people on the other side of the camera
telling
that have lived those stories.
Yeah.
Like,
they understand that nuance.
Yeah, because when you haven't been there, you're like, no, of course you'd be glad that
and
the rest
you
giving
you
the calls.
You don't even catch certain things if you haven't been there. Yeah.
Because you can go through life in a certain way, seeing things in a certain view. Mm-hmm. And I love that we have a show like Cloak and Dagger, which I think they are absolutely killing it.
Yes.
My
mom, sisters, everyone
color
watches this.
Palette, with the acting, everything.
Yeah.
But with that, it matters. Like mm-hmm. this kind of representation matters because 100%. You can actually see that other side of it. You can feel what they're going through.
Yeah.
It isn't just, oh, these are some teenagers or punk kids, such.
When it was I was a big fan of the comic back in the day, and when it was first announced that they were doing it like a Freeform type thing, mm-hmm. it's like angsty teenagers, I was like, no. Cuz even though they were young in the book, of course, but I mean all of them were young. It didn't read young.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. so now to fast forward and you're like, oh right, okay,
and I love that they got to the powers quick. Like they didn't do a slow build. I was like, nope, this is what it is, this is how it works, and we're into it.
I know you're watching Cloak and Dagger. So you in the chat room, how are you doing over there?
Well, so some people in the chat room are super into Cloak and Dagger, and others are warming up to the idea of it, that they really just want to get, it's been 5 episodes now.
That's
true. I think the further along you get into a show, the more you really get grounded into their powers.
Mm-hmm.
I like it, and I'm glad that it's on Freeform because it's making me think of Freeform in a different way.
Yeah.
Not just kind of like, it's Freeform. Mm-hmm. No, they're doing a good job, and I really like it. I like that it's also in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So yes. Somewhere different.
That's fun.
Yeah, it can't all be New York.
Exactly. Yes. New York is taken
there
care of.
There are
They're
other
fine.
Places.
Right. Yeah. I'm actually looking forward to shows that aren't based in North America. Yeah.
Ooh.
Very nice.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Shows or movies that aren't.
Yeah. Far from home.
Yeah, far from home. And this is, I love this piece of news. So Kristen Ritter is making her directorial debut. That's right. With Jessica Jones season 3. So she's going to sit behind the camera for the first time.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. Keeping in mind, like with Luke Cage season 2, we had Lucy Liu directed the very first episode, and I believe it was Cheo Hodari Coker that wrote the first episode. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong on that. That really was just off the cuff. But yes, so that should likely return to the streaming service in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have not heard what's going on.
I'm like,
unless you have something specific, because we do have a couple more other things. People reach out to you on Twitter for
Can at me, yes. Yes. About literally anything.
Give them the subject for what you're about to say, that they will then be like, what did you mean?
I will just say the reason why I haven't started Luke Cage yet is because Jessica Jones season 2 was such slow going.
Ooh.
And I wanted to watch them all in order, and I did, but that was hard work. That's all. So when it's like, at me. I'm easy to locate. Beat Dave Walters.
Get at me, bro.
Yeah, that's it.
That's fine. The way that I think about Jessica Jones season 1 and season 2, I think season 1 as being Jessica Jones within the world, and I think season 2 as in the world around Jessica Jones. I'm not saying that I kind of see it in a different point of view.
Yeah.
I have a lot of issues with season 2, and I understand if people aren't as gung-ho to watch. But I did find a number of levels of enjoyment in it.
Storytelling is about growth and change, or tragedy is about a character that doesn't change when you know they should. We were talking at the beginning of this. I feel like Jessica is the same she's person at the end of season two that she was at the beginning of season one. Yeah. And it's like, then what was the point in literally?
But I will say, I'm very interested to see the episode that she directs, having played the character. Like, right? What's her take on it? Like, yes. No, this is actually what Jessica would do. This is how this scene would go. I do want to see that.
I'm looking forward to it.
At this point,
it.
No one knows Jessica more than Kristen at this point. So
you would think, yeah, you would think for sure. For sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. So so last weekend, myself and Koi Jandro, who is, it's unfortunate that he can't be here tonight, but he's also working really hard for stuff that he will be able to show, you know, follow on his Twitter and his Instagram for all this awesome stuff that he is doing and has coming up. But we did go to amazing Las Vegas Comic-Con over the weekend. We went with Collider, and I just have a number of pictures from just random things. We did the Collider Heroes panel. Koi and I also did Collider Movie Talk, where we talked about the new Indiana Jones 5 movie coming out.
That was a nice location.
With Steven Spielberg. And then also we talked, Aquaman. Yeah, they talked about that also.
Let me just say, don't need another Indiana Jones, or do need more Aquaman. Yeah,
there you go.
Also at me.
There you go. I love it. I love it. Let's keep that conversation going. But it was myself, Koi, and John Schnapp. And see from the pictures on YouTube of something that kind of irks me a little bit when you see magazines or news articles or anything online where they say about cosplayers, and then they'll be like, and it'll be a certain type of cosplayer. Mm-hmm. Like I found a black female Cable, and like found, I mean, like I just walked and she was like right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I have a picture of her, and I think that's Shade Ava cosplay. Mm-hmm. I also have her on my Twitter, and I think it's excellent. I mean, you get it. She's infected with a techno-organic virus.
Who's not in this day and age?
Who
right?
isn't?
What are you talking about?
What?
You told me that in confidence. I'm
yes,
sorry.
I did.
What?
Right.
And then I just want to say a huge thank you to a number of fans that like came up at that time. That made me feel incredible. Like people that were like, hey, I know you do Collider, but we really love Marvel Movie News. That meant a lot to me. Yeah.
Celebrity.
It was like, yeah. And then also I met Noah and Nolan. It was their first Comic-Con. They were like itty-bitty littles. And their dad, who brought them to, Amazing Comic-Con. And it's like, hey, you have to start somewhere. He's like, yeah, I'm trying to get them involved in the books, in the comics. But, we can start with the movies kind of a deal. Mm-hmm. And apparently I met my my unofficial fan club president. I met him also. And nice. It was just, it was really great. Well, it really makes me want to do more conventions, definitely, because, mm-hmm. Hey, we are one tribe. We are nerds.
That's right.
And I very much enjoy that. And then with this con, it was... Usually cons are like, crowded. Like if you think like Comic-Con, like San Diego Comic-Con, it's dense. It's become very commercialized.
Yeah.
With this, it really was like back to when. It really was. I mean, in there, I saw Luke Cage, like original Luke Cage. We're talking Tiara and Gauntlets. Mm-hmm. That happened. And then I also have a picture in there with, and you can check my Instagram too. I have most of these on there. Not all of them though, because I was saving them for the show. So I guess you just have to go to the YouTube, iTunes listeners. But yeah, and then Louis Tan is in there. He's carrying a sword. Awesome guy. We actually went to see Absinthe with him and his PR person, as me, Koi, and John and Sheena. And yeah, I guess we're awesome. Nerds are really
take
cool.
Away, we
there
are
it is. Awesome.
Nerds are so
hashtag
cool.
Get on my level.
I love the creativity with everything. Yeah. Oh, and this one fan that we have here. Oh, and you told me your username, and I'm sorry I'm forgetting it right now. He has a Captain America shield that he is slowly working through cons to have all of the Avengers sign it.
That's
so
cool.
In the middle of the star, he has Stanley already, and then everything around. I know everything around the edge. I mean, he has well, not just Avengers. Because he has Kraglin in there.
Is that Hawk Girl?
Yeah, Hawk. Yeah,
yes.
Hawk
Girl.
Those are some serious wings.
Cosplayers
seriously,
are legit.
Cosplayers are so incredible.
Yes,
they really are.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do some shout outs real quick. So, A. Scott Fitzgerald at Illadelph Is it Philadelphia? Illadelph 12. Ray Campos at the underscore Pastor Swole. J.D. West at J.D. West Films. Jesse Klein at Jess Klein 1. Rhiannon Rhea at Rhiannon underscore Rhea. Michael Davis at Mike E. J.D. 123. Abdo Othman at Abdo Berzik. Queen Nemo at Christy Monsta. John Cone at John O'Cone. And then, yeah, I wonder if do we have enough time to knock out a couple of questions? Yeah, I'm going to take that as a yes. So Jocelyn at Bad Wolf Bay 10, any thoughts on a second MCU hero being in Spider-Man Far From Home? And if so, which one? Like, if it isn't just Spider-Man, who else would you like?
Right.
To be on a European trip with Spider-Man?
I want them to pay off the Miles Morales drop that they kind of like alluded to in Homecoming. I would love to see him just, he doesn't even have to show up as Spider-Man. He could just be like, oh yeah, like, what's up, bro? Like, that's what I want. And then Silk, but Sony has, they're doing things with that.
So. I just hope it is not Black Cat trying to steal the crown jewels.
Oh.
literally anything, but not that. Yeah, because the Master already took them on Sherlock, and so anything else is not a thing. So hopefully Excalibur shows up. I know that'll take a lot of rights crossing over, but it might be possible by then. So either Excalibur or somebody from, even if he like just ran into Lockjaw, like flying by like randomly. Yeah, that's what I'd like.
Yeah, mine would be I was going to say incredible. Yeah, incredible, but also impossible with what Smith set up, but Spider-Gwen. But it's not gonna, not for this. But they're doing it animated. They're doing for the Spider-Verse. They have her. Yeah. They have Miles. They got everybody, obviously. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I'll
Spider-Ham.
They have
Spider-Ham.
Yeah. Does whatever.
Thing. Google it.
Can. Does whatever a Spider-Ham can.
Yep. That's right.
Yep.
So, but yeah, and then Ashley Houchins, at Ashley Houchins. I feel like we kind of covered this a little bit, but in case anybody wants to throw anything else out, what other cosmic characters could we expect to see going forward? Kind of like the sky's the limit here. And he says, I personally think a character like Oblivion should be considered, which I think is fun. I know I said a Nihilus a lot, and I think I said Beyonder, Molecule Man, Frightful Four. So that would bring in Wizard. I mean, well, those aren't cosmic, but you know.
Yeah.
Silver Surfer. Still need to see the Silver Surfer. Silver Surfer done right. Like all of Galactus' heralds.
Yeah.
Like in big Roy Orbison Galactus would be a nice
touch. Are you saying you don't want Galactus as a cloud?
I want big Roy Orbison Galactus. That's what I want. Yeah.
The actual factual. I would want to see them do the Watcher. Like, I would just have them do
it's,
yeah.
It's Stan Lee. Have them do it. We covered this. Stan Lee is the Watcher. Yes.
I'll take that.
He's one of the watchers. Okay. You know, this has been great. Thanks for, and there's so much, there's so much more conversation I want to have with the two of you. And I hope that all of you want to have with them. I realized me shaking the fist. No, it's like me frustrated with the time constraints because I love this nerddom. So B. Dave Walters, let them know where they can find you. And please pitch anything that you're doing right now.
Again, at B. Dave Walters, Theogony of Kairos on Maze Arcana, 7 o'clock Wednesdays. The first three episodes are up on twitch.tv/MazeArcana. I will be at Comic-Con. If you see me, holler at me. I'm gigantic, so you won't be able to miss me. I'm like freaky ginormous.
Yes.
And at 7 o'clock Saturday, if you want to talk about like the deeper significance of the movies, the TV, of superhero genre storytelling, room for Comic Con. I'll also be at Gen Con. B. Dave Walters at me. Yes.
I didn't know you did that at your panel. I love talking about.
Are you coming to San Diego?
No, I'm actually going to be in Brazil for my brother's wedding, so I'll be roughing it. So I won't be at Comic Con because that's where I'll be. I wish I would be there though. But yeah, follow me at Josh Evans Go. But my whole Comics Inspired thing, like I love talking about just how the different stories like connect to real life and then get into like Joseph Campbell stuff. And like,
I'm glad this is coming at the end of the show because we would have lost her whole itinerary. Yeah. We're like, this is what we're not
going to
do.
I love it. So yeah, do that. And then also like outside of kind of like nerd stuff, I also do like poetry and spoken word. So if you got an event, holler at me at Josh Evans Go. Like I can do
bars.
Man, yes, I have all of them. There you go. Weddings also. So if you're getting married,
apparently in Brazil.
Right. So, Amy, where can they reach you in some upcoming projects?
Well, you guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra, MTZ. And, yeah, I'm on Popcorn Talk a lot. We talk about movies, obviously, Popcorn Talk. And on AfterBuzz TV, talk about Netflix and Marvel TV. And I'm also on Geek Bomb. So, if you like to nerd out, come join us.
Love it. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Markia McCarty. I don't remember if I introduced myself at the beginning of this episode. I probably didn't because I don't do that for some. Because
I mean, it's implied it's that they know.
Already know you. Internet
superstar Markia McCarty. Yeah.
The presence of royalty and greatness.
Obviously, that yes, that you've brought us up. Thank you.
So that's MarkiaMcCarty. And yeah, I do a variety of different projects right now. I should be doing a project with actual Mr. B. Dave Walters. We'll see what ends up happening with that, but that will be a lot of positivity and outspokenness.
No pop lock.
And pop lock gonna happen. And so I'm very excited when that project comes to fruition, for instance. But then yes, I'm doing a lot of things with Hyper RPG. If you want to check that out on Mondays at 6 p.m. PT, I'm part of 10 Candles, which is a tragic horror RPG where, like I said before, yes, we will die, but how do we actually live? And in this particular one, it's called it's Volume 5 Charlie Chimp. So we are it's haunted toy.
Your Kickstarter, don't forget.
Oh, thank you. And my Kickstarter, I recently GM'd 3 episodes of 10 Candles, and the creator of 10 Candles then reached out to me to game design for his next project. Oh, so nice. I am less than, I think last time I checked, it was like less than $200 or $300 on the Kickstarter, where my contribution will then be unlocked and I will have an expansion in his next project, which is called Gather. And if you look on my Twitter, you can easily click into that link. Please, you know, go ahead and contribute to that, because it's an excellent game. Otherwise, I, you know, wouldn't want to be a part of it. And then also, you know, always play more games. Always. But yeah,
we
there's
are awesome.
A.
Always play more games.
Always play more games. So yeah, a variety of things. Just check out my Twitter and Instagram. I have my Vegas trip on there and right now my Instagram story. So enjoy if that's your thing. And we love you. Thank you for coming for here for Marvel Movie News. And see you the same time next week. And did you?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.
Gosh, well, that's me.